All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into a case study here. We've got Joe and his wife, and this is a longtime listener, and we certainly appreciate this scenario that got sent into us over the holidays here. And we want to talk about it. It's really two questions, Jarrett. We've got and we do this every week, as you guys know. We take a situation that's common. It comes up often in the context of what we do as financial planners. These are situations that are not uncommon. And many people deal with. And we've got a situation where Joe has written in, and he's really got two questions. In a great situation, he's got a good solid income. And question number one is this, and I'm just going to read out sort of part of what he sent in. He said, each year I contribute the maximum amount to my company 401k plan at a catch-up rate. So I want to be sure that's in there. And I typically reach my maximum limit in August or September. The question is, should I lower my biweekly payroll contribution so that my contributions are spread out over the full year, or continue hitting my contribution limit early in the year? Over the long term, does it really make sense to spread it out, shorten it up? So the question is, do you want to get the money in there as quick as possible, or do you want to spread it out?
Sure. Well, I think that depends a lot on the assumptions that you're using. I mean, obviously, in a market that's growing and you're seeing positive returns, the quicker you can get the money into the plan, mm-hmm. The longer you can have it stay there and invest, then obviously, for the most part, you're going to see a better return by doing so.
Yeah.
However, you know, putting it into more of an illiquid asset such as the home, that maybe not such a good idea.
And you got to think about this too, right? I mean, on a 401k, so the reason for putting money in there, right, Troy? I mean, this is a tax deferred savings vehicle,
right?
So, you know, you're getting it in there. The longer it can grow tax deferred, typically the better off you are.
Right.
That's right.
This sounds a lot to me like, you know, should I dollar cost average?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in dollar cost averaging, you put a set dollar amount of money into your savings account, into your investment account, mm-hmm. and you buy whatever number of shares that dollar amount will allow you. So mm-hmm. the place where that really works best is when you have a volatile market, when the prices are up and down a lot, back and forth. You'll buy more shares when the stocks are cheap, and you'll buy fewer shares when they're expensive. So your average purchase, your average cost is lowered. However, if you're in a trending market where, somewhat similar to what we saw from March of 2009 up until probably halfway through 2015, where you can look at the chart and it goes from the lower left-hand corner to the upper right-hand corner, and it has very few bumps in between, mm-hmm. you would have been better there to put all your money in as quickly as possible and just let it grow.
Right.
Right. And you know, you got to think about this too. And I guess the question is, part of what doesn't worry me as much about his situation where he's saying he's reaching the maximum limit in August or September, it's not like he's reaching it in March, April. I mean, you're almost taking the whole year anyway. And
yeah.
I guess from my perspective, it seems to me that over the long haul, the quicker you can get money, you're going to benefit more from the tax-deferred growth than you are from spreading out your dollar-cost averaging. And two, you know, it's just going to give you a chance to save to other vehicles. Just because
right.
you max out the 401k
absolutely.
Doesn't mean you're not going to save that money into other opportunities.
Right.
So you could do that. So that was question one. So let me start us out on question two, and if we have to take a break here in a second, come back to it, we can. But question number two is, we have a 15-year mortgage at a 3.25% interest rate that we plan on paying off before retirement. Each month, they're putting an extra $1,000 in principal against the loan. We also put another $2,000 into an index mutual fund to provide extra savings for retirement and emergency reserves. So they're saving $3,000 a month, $1,000 going against principal that's over and above the mortgage payment, and they're putting $2,000 into an index fund. All right? So, and this is all in addition to the 401k. So he's saving fantastically. This is doing a great job of setting money aside. One of the two of them, husband and wife here, one of the two of them believes that once the mutual fund balance, the index fund, approaches the payoff amount of the mortgage, that they should sell it and pay off the house and use the money that they save after not having a mortgage payment to put back into savings over time.
Yeah,
the other of the two, don't know if it's Joe or his wife. We're not sure whose side of the argument. So we're not gonna pick a side here.
Names have been changed to protect
the guilty.
Guilty.
That's right. So the other of us believes that we should continue to on the current path, and not cash out the savings, but just let the home get paid off when to curse. So tell you what, let's pause on that and take a break and come back. But the question comes down to, do we pay off our mortgage early or not? And you know, from a big picture perspective, this is not uncommon. This question gets asked all the time. There's extra money, can afford to pay down on the mortgage. Should they win a savings balance? Most likely, let's assume it's in a brokerage account. They're putting money into an index fund, so a brokerage account being taxable. If the balance in the mutual fund in that brokerage account gets big enough, should they sell it and pay off the mortgage or let the mortgage run its course? They've got 15 years on it at 3.25%. Thoughts? Questions, comments, guys? I know I've got an opinion. I'll let you guys go first.
Absolutely. Well, you know, with rates where they are currently, I mean, that essentially sets up a very low hurdle for you in order to earn a higher rate on your investments, which is the general rule of thumb here. I mean, if you can earn a rate that is higher than the interest you're paying on the loan, then generally speaking, you know, you're better off keeping it in that asset that's earning more of a return, but also one that's a lot likely more liquid. You know, on the contrary, if you were to put those same dollars into the home, that becomes very illiquid, which could cause a problem in retirement if you need unexpected access to that money. So
we talk all the time about your house being your largest investment. I mean, it's your dwelling. Yeah, you got a whole lot of emotional ties to that, but the fact is, it is just as Jarrett called it, an illiquid asset. You cannot sell a house generally in a very quick manner so that you can get, you know, if you had an emergency, you can get that capital out. You know, the numbers that we worked up, 3.25% on a mortgage versus 7% annualized return on a portfolio of securities, stocks, bonds, whatever you have. It really does make the math pretty easy. You become the bank at this point, right? Banks borrow money at a low rate, and they loan it out at a larger interest rate.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. While they have a contractual obligation, the person they lend to and themselves borrowing, you know, the cash flows are a whole lot smoother than you might see in the stock market. As we've talked, you know, coming into this this show, market's down 5.8% in a, you know, short span. However, if you look at the numbers over the long term, we look at this 10-year rolling average return all the time. Stock market, 10-year rolling average since 1926. That's what I think about 80 different 10-year rolling periods.
Sure.
Over that time span, average return 10.42%.
Yeah.
You go to small caps, the return gets a little bit bigger, but more volatile as well. So, you know, you're talking about a 10-year time before you retire. Should be somewhat some security, at least, in the fact that you have, you know, over a long period of time, the market's likely to go up.
It has. And, you know, you mentioned hurdle rate earlier, Jared. I mean, you're looking at this interest rate on this mortgage at 3.25%. You tax affect that too, right? So, you're going to deduct that. So you're really not paying net the 3.25%. So that works in your favor as well. But at the end of the day, and sort of moving on here, the question becomes, do you want all of your investments tied up in an illiquid asset that you can't use, or is it better to have that pool of money working for you in a long-term growth investment like an equity fund, an index fund, like what they're talking about here? So, you know, that's one side of the question.
That's right.
That's one side of the equation. So there's the financial answer of, by the numbers, I wouldn't pay off the mortgage.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't sell in a brokerage account a balance this big. You liquidate a mutual fund. You know, hopefully you've seen good performance in that mutual fund, so you're going to have a capital gain that you're going to have to pay. So taxes are an issue in liquidating the fund.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a problem. So by the numbers, you wouldn't pay off the mortgage. But then there's the other side of this.
The emotions.
The sleep factor.
Yes.
Right. So,
yeah.
Listen, there's not a calculation we can run that is going to allow you to sleep better at night if you just can't stand it.
Right. I mean, if you don't like debt.
That's right.
And it really irritates you that much. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard Dr. Gene say before, you know, there's people that that talk about this, you know, in the financial industry, you'd say that they would have more of a depression mentality where it really bothers them to be indebted. There's nothing wrong with that. That's who you are.
Sure.
Gene says he couldn't sleep at night if he didn't have a mortgage, when especially you could get it at 3.25%.
Right.
Knowing that the stock market long-term average returns are 10.5%.
Yeah. And look, and you can't overstate liquidity either. I mean, both of you have brought it up.
Right.
I mean, listen, you can always sell that mutual fund and have cash the next day or the same day, depending on how it's set up, you know, to meet whatever need you may have. Not that easy with a piece of real estate.
And the other thing is, you can sell a portion of your mutual fund, and you can't sell a portion of your house.
That's very true.
Yep.
Good point.
Very true. So, anyway.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe, for sending that in to us. Great great topic for discussion. It comes up a lot. This is a conversation, Jared. I know, you know, as a CFP, you see this and hear this a lot. Should we pay off the house? Should we not?
Yeah.
It's a very emotional decision.
It really is, and this is much more behavioral than you would think. I mean, a lot of people are just more comfortable without the debt, and like Troy said, that's perfectly okay.
Yep. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.